Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Everything is possible for one who believes.
Welcome to Faith Matters. Like a thief in the night, at any moment, in the blink of an eye.
Right.
All of those statements, right?
That's true.
So, what is tonight's chapter?
Chapter 21, At Any Moment.
This is from Dr. David Jeremiah's Great Disappearance, 31 Ways to Be Rapture Ready. As we go through each chapter each week, we encourage you to buy his book anywhere where your favorite books are sold. And as we read through this, we remind you that we do so with respect to his works and in accordance with the Fair Use Act. So let's take a look at what we have here in chapter 21. Dr. Jeremiah writes, "When you have lived in California as long as I have, you develop a healthy respect for earthquakes. Unlike other natural disasters that have built-in warning systems hours or even days in advance, there's no way to predict when or where an earthquake may strike." I didn't realize that. They should get better at that. "But that hasn't stopped people from trying. In 2022, a Dutch researcher named Frank Hoogerbeets, that's right, Hoogerbeets, made international news by accurately predicting a devastating earthquake in Turkey 3 days before it happened. Frank's method relies on the alignment of planets in our solar system, what he calls planetary geometry. Looking deeper, Frank's tweets and alerts are often as cryptic as fortune cookies, including, "We're slowly entering a time when likelihood of an M8 plus seismic activity increases." And Frank's own website states, "There's no reliable method for predicting the exact time and location of earthquakes." He says it right there. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
I have not. Well, a very, very mild one, I remember in high school. Felt like somebody kicked my chair. So, I wouldn't call that a real earthquake.
Well, I must have been in one, but I sure can't remember it.
Yeah.
So, it must not have been. I think it'd be memorable. But then again, you've had those from, you know, yeah, whatever. Let's just keep reading here. "I don't think I have been." So, other earthquake prediction methods are even stranger. Just a few months before Frank's prediction, a group of Mexican fishermen did their best to raise the alarm for a potential quake after catching a rare fish, an ore fish, near Sinaloa. Ore fish are the largest bony fish in the sea, and they normally dwell much too deep to be caught. Local legends state that ore fish only rise to the surface when a calamity is at hand, which is why they often are called earthquake fish. After studying these and other methods, the United States Geological Survey, or USGS, put out a statement that says, "Neither the USGS nor any other scientists have ever predicted a major earthquake." Wow. You know what? They are really making it known. They are documenting here.
Yeah.
These different places are documenting that there's no way to predict an earthquake. So they're not trying to say that they can.
Right. Okay.
Excuse me. I just want to make that point, because we have a lot of weather manipulation and things like that going on in other episodes, but we'll follow it this trail here. "Given that reality, those of us who live near geological fault lines must continue to expect that an earthquake is imminent." So imminent versus predicted, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
"So we must prepare as if the big one could occur at any moment. Just as an earthquake is imminent and could occur at any moment, so too the coming of our Lord is also imminent and could occur at any moment.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the key teachings about the rapture that is recorded in several places in Scripture is often called the doctrine of imminency. Mm. When something is imminent, it could happen at any moment. There are no barriers that need to be removed or qualifications that need to be met before it occurs. Importantly, an event that is imminent is not necessarily immediate. Saying an event is imminent does not mean it is guaranteed to occur in the immediate future, only that it could occur at any time. In his definitive book on the rapture, Reynold Showers gives us an in-depth explanation of the word imminent. The English word imminent means hanging over one's head, ready to befall or overtake one, close at hand in its incidence. Thus, an imminent event is one that is always hanging overhead, is constantly ready to befall or overtake a person, is always close at hand in the sense that it could happen at any moment. Other things may happen before the imminent event, but nothing else must take place before it happens. If something must take place before an event can happen, that event is not imminent. The necessity of something else taking place first destroys the concept of imminency.
Hmm.
When an event is truly imminent, we never know exactly what will happen. Bible expositor A.T. Pearson wrote, "Imminence is the combination of two conditions, certainty and uncertainty. An imminent event is one which is certain to occur at some time, uncertain at what time. Imminent is not synonymous with impending. It is not exact to say what is imminent is near at hand. It may or may not be." I am highlighting this term because the Bible represents the rapture as an imminent event, one that could take place at any moment. This chapter will show you where to find those claims in Scripture and why the doctrine of imminency is important for your everyday life.
I was looking at you while you were reading because I was like, wow, I thought for a moment there. That was, first of all, really good definition.
Yes.
Second of all, I thought I was in college for a moment again. I was like, I was feeling really smart for a second.
Sometimes we do, don't we?
Imminency. And the way that it was put, the difference mm-hmm. between certainty and uncertainty and imminency and whether or not it's impending.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Got a frog tonight. But all wrapped up into one statement. That was really good. I also noticed as we are live on Facebook and Rumble and Twitter and Twitch and DiggingDeeperTV.com, I noticed that the captions on Facebook are almost live time.
Huh?
Look
nice.
At this. Go ahead and take a peek at it. If you want to follow along and don't want to have the sound on, you can just listen to the words
yeah.
as they, or listen, watch the words. Let's see how it treats that as we both spoke at the same time. So here we're going to go to the next section yep. on the page here, the passages that introduce imminency. We have explored Jesus' powerful promise to his followers in John 14 from several angles, but let's look once more at those verses through the lens of imminency. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Mm.
Mm. Verses 1 through 3. You know, we used to sing that as kids, you know, as a song, or lead the kids
mm-hmm.
in our youth groups in my Father's house.
Yes.
And I thought it was a silly song. I thought it was a silly song by Larry, you know? But it's actually at the point of time when Jesus spoke this to the disciples. Yeah. It must have seemed as strange as a silly song from Larry.
Oh, maybe.
Because he's like, what? Don't worry. You're leaving, but don't worry. You go and prepare. In my Father's house, you're like, well, what are you talking about? So look at the two action verbs at the core of the passage. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. The first of those statements has already come to pass. After the resurrection, Jesus did not remain on earth, but instead ascended to heaven, like I said earlier. He left to prepare a place for us. The second of those promises is still to come. Jesus will return, and he gave no preconditions that must be fulfilled before that return. He could literally arrive at any moment. That's eminency. As one scholar has written, Jesus mentions no sign that must precede the rapture. He spoke directly of a reunion of the apostles with their Lord, which would issue in an eternal at-homeness with both Jesus and the Father. Paul emphasized the imminence of Christ's return when he wrote his first epistle to the believers in Thessalonica. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 9. Those are very encouraging words. Notice that Paul emphasized the salvation of his audience. He described the Thessalonians as brethren and sons of light. They were believers. They were saved. For that reason, why was it important for them to watch and be sober? Their eternal futures had already been sealed, as is the case for Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
So what reason was there for them to maintain such readiness?
The answer is tied to the certainty of God's wrath. The day of God's judgment is coming. The believers in Thessalonica would not experience that wrath because of the rapture. However, Paul charged them to invest themselves in the mission of expanding God's kingdom while they still had time.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to live out their calling as children of light, precisely because the return of Christ was imminent. Finally, and appropriately, Jesus' last words in Scripture are recorded in Revelation 22:20, and they also emphasize the imminence of his return. It says, "Surely I am coming quickly."
His last words?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That is the reality we should remember as believers in Jesus. We don't need to wait for signs in order to carry out the work of Christ. He told us he is coming quickly, sooner than later, at any moment. While I was working on this chapter, Dr. Jeremiah says, a member of our church handed me a card that read, "I'm not looking for a sign, I'm looking for the Savior."
Nice.
Notice also the words that convey imminency in the following passages.
Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Luke 21:28.
We ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption. Romans 8:23.
I always love that adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Reference.
Yes.
Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:7.
We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52.
We also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians Is that Philemon?
No, Philippians.
That's Philippians 3:20.
For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2.
You're getting the good ones. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13.
You see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25.
The coming of the Lord is at hand. James 5:8.
The judge is standing at the door. James 5:9.
Okay. The end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7.
And behold, I am coming quickly. Revelation 22:7.
Pronouns. A lot of talk about pronouns lately. Let's talk about the pronouns that insist on eminency. Every word in Scripture matters. Every word matters. I wrote that yesterday. Every letter. To quote Jesus, every jot and tittle, Matthew 5:18. There's a world of spiritual treasure to be found when we mine even the most minute elements of Scripture. Sometimes even minutes. I find some little nuggets.
Yes.
For example, look at the pronouns Paul used when writing to the Thessalonians. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 and 17. Why did Paul keep saying we? Because he expected to be included in the rapture. In the words of John MacArthur, when the Apostle Paul described the Lord's coming for the church, he used personal pronouns that show he clearly was convinced he himself might be among those who would be caught up alive to meet the Lord. Paul believed Christ would return during his lifetime. He expected Jesus to come back while he was still alive. More than that, he eagerly anticipated that return. The fact that Jesus did not initiate the rapture in the first century is not the point. What's important is understanding, as Paul did, that Christ could return at any moment. And that the imminence of the return should spur us to live as Paul did, focused on each day accomplishing God's work for God's kingdom.
The parables that illustrate imminency. To make his point about the imminency of his return, Jesus told several stories or parables. His first story was about an unexpected thief. Matthew 24:43-44. This story about a house that was broken into by a thief because the master of the house was not watching. The point that Jesus made was this. If the master of the house had known when the thief was coming, he would have watched and kept the theft from occurring. But since the master did not know the hour of the day when the theft would occur, his house was unexpectedly robbed. Now watch how Jesus concluded his parable. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect, in verse 44. The next story was about two servants, Matthew 24:45-51. This story is about two servants who worked for the same master. One of the servants was faithful and the other unfaithful. Their master went away from the home and left the two servants in charge. The good servant faithfully served his master and provided food for his master's house. The evil servant convinced himself that the master was delaying his coming, and getting drunk, he beat up some of his fellow servants.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
That's assault.
Both of the servants were caught doing what they were doing when the master unexpectedly returned. The good servant was rewarded with a promotion, and the evil servant was punished severely. Like the master in the parable, our master in heaven is coming at an unexpected time. It could be today or tomorrow, this century, or the next. But we are always to be waiting, watching, and working until he comes.
Do you remember that one chapter we were reading and we said it could be at any time, it could be right now, and then the lights went out and all of our power went
off?
Yes. And we went off the air?
Yes.
Right here in this office?
Yes, I remember.
But it wasn't the day.
It wasn't.
We just flipped the power switch from the breaker outside and we were back on the air in about 20 minutes. But that didn't happen tonight. But I do remember that. Yeah. And it's like, you read that, and I was like, are the lights going out?
Holding your breath.
Are the lights going out? So if the lights go out, I guess that's good news. But then we're going to hear trumpets and be caught up in the air. Whatever that's going to look like, I don't know. Yeah. But that's what we've been reading about for about the last 6 months.
Yes. The final story was about the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25:1-13. This parable of Jesus is about 10 virgins, 5 of whom are foolish and 5 wise. All 10 virgins were anticipating the celebration of a wedding and the long and majestic parade to the house of the bridegroom. When the bridegroom came unexpectedly in the middle of the night, the foolish virgins had no oil for their lamps. By the time they purchased oil, it was too late, and they found themselves locked out of the wedding feast where the wise virgins had been admitted.
Because they had the oil?
Yes.
Well, because the others were in the dark.
Yes.
If you don't have oil, you're in the dark.
Exactly.
Okay.
Neither group knew a fixed period within which the groom would return, but one group was ready and the other was not. This is what Jesus said we would learn from this parable. Mm. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming, Matthew 25:13. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said something similar, yet even more powerful. Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Luke 12:37.
Wow, I think there's a very strong message here tonight about being ready.
Yes.
Having your supplies, being prepared. This is the perspective that interprets imminency. The imminency of Christ's return is more than just an incidental truth about the rapture. Major books and manuscripts have been written to either defend this doctrine or attack it. Simply put, if the Bible teaches that Jesus can come back at any time and that nothing needs to take place before he comes, then the idea that the church must go through the tribulation before the rapture occurs is found to be false. Okay, so I coughed through that and chopped up the sentence, so let's reevaluate there. Let's take a look at this. Major books and manuscripts have been written to either defend or attack it. If the Bible teaches that Jesus can come back at any time and that nothing needs to take place before, then this idea that there must be a tribulation, that would be false.
Yes.
Okay, so he's contradicting himself here because he's going to prove a point. Is that what Dr. Jeremiah is doing?
There are some people that say that the church is going to go through the tribulation as well, you know, mid and post.
Oh.
That's what he's talking about.
The people of Taiwan understand the practical applications of imminency in a visceral way. For more than 7 years, Taiwan has been under threat of invasion from the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP.
Mm-hmm.
And that threat has intensified after Russia's recent occupation of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the question is not whether China will attack Taiwan, but when. Taiwan must be ready for a conflict at any time. Nothing that the Taiwanese military is capable of doing to mobilize 200,000 soldiers within 24 hours. They can't fight the force that's coming. That's the kind of readiness we need to maintain as followers of Jesus. We, too, are on the cusp of an invasion, not hostile, but heavenly.
Mm.
And I might say on the southern border right now we are.
Yep.
Therefore, we must choose to remain ready for the glorious hour that may arrive at any moment. Mm-hmm. Wow. So, let's interpret that last paragraph there again. China will attack Taiwan. We know that's inevitable or imminent. It happened already. We knew that was coming. We also know it's coming that Jesus will return. We do believe that, yes?
Yes.
So the kind of readiness we need to maintain as followers is one that we are on the cusp of an invasion. So we are recognizing right now the southern border, we are at an invasion. So a lot of people are waking up, but even before the southern border issue really got people, this whole upside down world of rules that don't make sense, things that just don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like an invasion on common sense and invasion on normalcy. Right? So I bet a lot of us are feeling like we're in this invasion, that we've been invaded in the last few years.
Yeah.
Especially in the mind, in the area of mental health. As you heard on the first episode tonight in our first of four segments, the foods that are so refined and overly refined lead to mental health issues. The ingredients that are not needed in there, that are put in there and have been for years, are leading us to issues in the mind. It is all in our head.
Mm.
Just like they said. So as we close out this episode, I think we need to pray right now. We need to pray for clarity and for purity and for readiness. Lord, as we finish this chapter here from Dr. David Jeremiah, Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for this scripture, and we thank you for him. We thank you for your son. We thank you for this lesson tonight of readiness that we need to maintain as followers. We need to be ready like it's an invasion, because we know it is.
Mm-hmm.
The evil spirit has invaded our mind in so many ways, like in segment 3 tonight, Lord, we presented to the people, Lord, you saw it, the ugliness of the destruction of our children. Lord, please, please forgive us all. We thank you for the words from Dr. Jeremiah. We thank you for this awareness of this readiness that we need to maintain. Help us to spread this word to others so that they too may be ready.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace will be with you.